school days seem like a long time ago for me. But one of the few things I remember from school was actually learning to sail. I'm not sailing terribly well, and probably haven't done very much ever since then. But I learned some lessons in the sailing that probably have stayed with me. One of them I learned fairly quickly through fairly painful experiences was you need to duck your head at the appropriate moment as the boom comes over. And if you don't, well, you get thumped on the side of the head, and you very quickly learn whenever somebody shouts, "Ready about," head goes down. It took me a while to learn it, but after a few painful experiences, I learned it. It was good to remember that one. The other thing that I learned too was that you have to keep checking where you're going. Because it's so easy to get caught up in what you're doing on the boat. It's so easy to get caught up with the mechanics, with looking out for that boom coming over the top, with tightening sails and all the rest of those things that go on. It's so easy to get caught up in that, that you actually lose sight of where you're going. And you can become very disorientated. Or maybe it's a gust of wind that just blows you slightly off course and you don't quite notice it, you don't correct it again, and you head off in the wrong direction. You can become very disorientated. During the time when Heather and I lived in Kenya, there was one occasion we were out on a boat on Lake Victoria, and we headed out with a local steering the boat, whatever the word I'm looking for is. I don't know that you steer boats. Whatever you do to a boat, he was doing it. And he took us out onto the lake and came back, and Heather and I were both convinced he had brought us back into Uganda rather than into Kenya, because we got so totally disorientated. But thankfully, he knew where he was going. It is so easy to lose your sense of direction. And so you need to be constantly checking what way you're going. You need to constantly look around for some sort of landmark and fix your eyes on that so that you can go in the same direction. Some years ago, a friend who used to work for Customs and Excise on one of their boats around the coast gave me an Admiralty chart with a mark on it for Ballywillan Church Tower. And it's one of the landmarks that's used on that Admiralty chart. So people sailing past could see Ballywillan Church Tower, and there was a landmark that they could fix their position. Maybe that's another good reason for the repairs in the tower, so that ships don't get lost off the coast. We need something to fix our eyes on. Because if we don't have that, it's very easy to lose our sense of direction. Last week, we thought a little bit about what it was to set our course for the year ahead. What direction were we taking with our lives for this year? And we looked at doing God's will, at that question of, you know, what would Jesus do? Guiding and leading us, open to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. But it's easy to get distracted. There is so much going on around us that will blow us off course. There are other things in our lives, things which are good and right and proper and important, and sometimes they can distract us so that we lose our sense of direction. We need to constantly check what way we're going so that we stay on course. Staying on course is possibly more difficult than setting our course. Setting our course, we can decide, yeah, that's the direction I want to take, that's the direction I want to go, but actually staying on that takes commitment, takes care. Chris read for us from Psalm 119, where the psalmist is constantly checking his course. He is constantly looking back at God's word. And so as we read through that, you'll find things like this. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Keep reminding me, Lord, of your word. I will follow it to the end, I'll keep my course. Turn my heart towards your statutes, not towards selfish gain. Lord, there are things around me that I could get preoccupied with to do with myself. But Lord, turn my heart towards your word, towards your will. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. This is the psalmist saying, Lord, set my course and help me stay on course as I read through your word. Praying for instruction in God's will as he longs for God's will to be worked out in his life. His ears are truly open to hearing God's call, to hearing God's instruction, and to staying on course. But he knows that it's not always easy. And so there's his prayer. Teach me. Turn my heart. Turn my eyes. Just keep me on course, Lord. Keep me on course. We need to be people who are so immersed in God's word that God can teach us, turn our hearts, turn our eyes, and we stay on course. At every ordination within the Presbyterian Church, whether it's elders or ministers, one of the statements that's made is that we believe that the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only rule of faith and practice, how we live out our faith day by day, is God's word. There are lots of other things that could set our course and guide us, but we believe that the only truly infallible one is God's word. That's why God's word is central in our services. And it's important. But it's also why we have home groups, small groups that meet to study God's word together. And sadly, in these difficult days, it's hard to actually meet physically together, but I know our groups are going online again, and I encourage you to be part of those groups. If you're not part of a group, you would like to be part of a group, we would love everyone to be involved in a group, then please either talk to myself or to Ron McCartney, who looks after and coordinates our groups. It's not just a way of filling up your diary or putting an evening in, it's a way of keeping set on course as we study God's word together. But it's also about personally spending time with God's word. It's a lovely thing as so many folks use Bible reading notes. And as they come through the office and people pick them up, it's really encouraging. And I know many, many others use other Bible reading notes. So there's just that regular reading of God's word, and we use those notes to help us understand, to instruct us, to encourage us, to challenge us as we stay on course for God. God's word is so important. Because we have such easy access to God's word, we sort of treat it casually. You go to various places around the world where they will have little scraps of paper with Bible verses written on them that are hidden away because the authorities wouldn't want them to have it. Where a Bible is treated like a treasure. Where people memorize huge tracts of scripture because they don't have access to the written word that we have. May God forgive us for treating his word casually and lightly and taking it for granted. And may he, by his Spirit, create in us a great hunger, not just to know in our heads his word, but to live out in our lives his word. Chris also read for us from Acts chapter 2, where we read of the early church. The early church that's facing a lot of issues, facing a lot of pressures, in a world that really doesn't quite know what this group is, this church. And the world is looking on with maybe suspicion, mistrust. And there are these folks working out what it is to live for Jesus Christ. We can say lots about these verses from Acts chapter 2, but I want us to focus on just three things this morning. And here they are. What did they devote themselves to, this early church? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Everything that the apostles taught, everything that Jesus had taught, the apostles had taken on board, and this early church devoted themselves to it. Not just occasionally got together and read a little bit, they devoted themselves to it. Because that was what kept them on course. That was what helped them stay on course, day by day, moment by moment. As they read through God's word, as they applied it to their own lives, as they lived it out, all focused around the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a big, big part of that early church staying on course. And I'm quite sure they read and they thought through these things on their own, but they also did it together. Because in Acts 2, we read they simply devoted themselves to fellowship, which was being together with God's people in worship, in discussion, in prayer, in Bible study, whatever else it is. Fellowship is not just a nice wee cup of tea and a biscuit. It's people who love Jesus sharing with each other what that love for Jesus means and how it works out. So they devoted themselves to God's word. They devoted themselves to fellowship together because they kept each other on course. One of the other things I learned from sailing was if you've got two or three other people in the boat, then together you're more likely to stay on course than just one person. Together we encourage each other because staying on course is difficult. Why did they devote themselves to fellowship? Because they knew that together they would be stronger and stay on course. We live in a society that encourages us to be your own person, to be independent, to be self-sufficient. And yet we were created to be dependent. We're created to be dependent upon each other and especially upon our Heavenly Father. We are dependent beings. We're created for fellowship with each other and with our God. The early church devoted themselves to prayer. It's one of the sad things about any church life that very often the smallest gathering will be when you ask people to gather for prayer. It's just somehow for those sort of enthusiasts, people who like to do that sort of thing. We need to be people who pray, not as a last resort, but almost as the first thing that we do, to pray. To pray on our own, to pray with our family, to pray together with folks here in the congregation, to pray in those small groups, but to pray. Because praying not only lifts our own hearts towards God, but it opens us up towards what God is doing in us. As we read God's word and then as we pray together, God is helping us stay on course. Helping us to see that landmark that we move towards and need to fix our eyes on. God has given us these. They're often called means of grace. The Bible, His people, prayer. God has given us these things so that we can experience His grace and stay on course. But sometimes we sit back and we expect that grace to appear. It's a bit like having a tap but never turning it on. As we spend time in God's word, as we spend time in fellowship with God's people, as we spend time praying together, it's like turning on that tap, experiencing God's grace. God's grace is not just for salvation, not only for salvation. Yes, we need God's grace. By grace alone are we saved. But by grace alone do we stay on course. If we think we can stay on course just by our own willpower, our own determination, our own thoughts and thinking and reasoning, then we are sadly mistaken. We need God's grace to stay on course this year and each year that we're given. So as we set our course for this year, let's open ourselves to all that God would do in us so that we too may stay on course for His glory. So that people would turn to Him. Staying on course is not about people saying, what wonderful folks you are. What a strong person you are. Staying on course is encouraging people to look to Jesus and say, what a wonderful Savior we have. Staying on course is encouraging people to look at the God of grace and know that His grace is sufficient. May God give us the grace to be open to all that He would do each moment that He gives us. And keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, may we stay on course. Wherever we are, whoever we're with, may we be known as His. Let's pray together. Father, there is so much in us and around us that could knock us off course, and it does frequently. So help us, we pray, to continually check. Help us as we read Your word, as we spend time together, as we pray, to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, as we make decisions, as we go about our work, our leisure, help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And Lord, may our lives be lived for the praise of Your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.